Antigone's Nation by Edward Mast, freely adapted from Sophocles' Antigone. Dedicated to more than 1,000 Palestinian prisoners who joined a mass hunger strike in protest of their treatment inside Israeli prisons. Scene 1. Antigone and her sister, Ismene.
May the dead beneath the earth forgive me. The living will understand. We cannot always do what we wish.
It is too late to ask for forgiveness.
Antigone, sister, protect yourself. Don't do this thing.
Too late, I said. It is done.
Oh, my sweet sister, what have you done to yourself and to me? We are the last of our family, and now you have killed yourself.
You will still be alive.
They may kill me, too, for talking to you, for hesitating to turn you in.
Too late for that. They already know.
How?
They saw me. They know my name.
You stupid girl. You stubborn, hateful, vengeful girl. How will this change what happened? They will do what they want, no matter what. They will undo what you have done. You will pay, and not one thing will have changed. They have power, and we have none. Your stubborn, suicidal act will not so much as make them shudder.
You're wrong. Something is changed. If nothing else, then I am different. For all of time, I will never be that living person who stood by and did not a thing. Did not a thing.
Antigone, I'm on my knees. I beg you. Run now. Hide. Find some place to keep yourself with the living. My only, only remaining love.
You will find other loves. Hymen, maybe. He can't marry me anymore.
You crush my heart. You will leave me alone.
Ismene, sister, you could have come with me. The birds were pecking our brother's body. Our protector. Our brother. You remember him? You could have come to help me dig and give our brother some last small touch of love on the body of earth.
I will come with you now.
You will not.
I will tell them I did it as well. They will take us both, and we both will die.
The doing of this belongs to me. The punishment, too. You can't have them. I asked for your help. You turned me down.
Don't leave me behind.
You made your choice. Now you are condemned to stay on earth with the sorrowful, shameful living.
They're coming. Antigone, run. We can hide you. Antigone, please, please.
Nowhere to run, miss. King Creon was not going to see you at all. Just send you into lawful judgment. But since you're related, sort of, he will. Come along now. Don't make trouble.
I'm coming too.
No, miss. You're not accused. The Lady Antigone comes with us.
From Hannah Shalabi, March 2011. 5 weeks into her hunger strike against Israel's treatment of Palestinian prisoners. To all the free and loyal Palestinian people, I direct my words to you. While I and all my brothers and sisters in the occupiers' prisons are on hunger strike, we call on you to continue your solidarity. I call on foreign states to continue action in applying pressure on Israel towards the release of all our courageous prisoners. It's true our lives are very precious, but our freedom is even more precious and more powerful than their cells. Scene 2. Antigone stands before Creon, king of Thebes.
The seven gates of Thebes are safe. There are some who mourn their losses now, the mothers and fathers of those who have fallen. But even they, in their time of sorrow, may share the consolations of triumph. Our new government has met and defeated our first great challenge. Enlightened democracy has won the day. We will give no medals. This honor and triumph belong in common to every citizen who rose to the need. Your citizenship is itself your medal. There are those who say that progressive values are weak and unstable, that open hearts are easily conquered. We've proven them wrong. The crisis is over, but not the struggle. Rebellion is a creature that does not die so quickly. By crushing this one great threat, we've not yet achieved the elimination of all the sources of envy and hatred that still might undermine our peace. We are good people. Our virtue is our power. But power, like health, will create new infections. Gold and silver are great corruptors. And while we extend the hand of compassion, we must not let our muscle come slack or relax our vigilance. No,
not even to those who may be the closest to us. You there, studying the dirt with your eyes, you're accused of a traitorous act. Do you confess?
I have nothing to hide.
The soldiers say you threw some handfuls of sand on the corpse of your brother. Did you?
I did.
Your brother was one of the rebels that attacked our city. His treason did not reflect on you, because we're not barbarians here. But he was one of the noble-born, and so his treason demands example. Did you mean to give him burial rites?
I did.
Did you know that we had declared his outlawed body would remain unburied as the special cost of his treason?
I heard your decree. Everyone did.
So, you heard the punishment also?
Yes.
Well, did you hope that because our families are close and because you're set to marry my son, that I would be able to show you mercy and somehow block the consequences of your act?
I hope for nothing. Your laws are not the only laws.
What did you hope to gain?
My brother, my family member, is lying unburied. I can walk. I can see. I can use my legs and my arms. How can I let him lie there like that?
He was a rebel.
And when we were young, he was sometimes a terrible bully, too. He was my family. I gave him what burial I could.
No apology? No repentance?
If you let me go, I will do it again.
You want to take advantage of me. You know that I'm not some tyrant. But if you did this in some other nation, you'd be shrieking with pain already. You'd be dead in an unmarked ditch. All your relatives would be in prison, and the head of your household would have his genitals nailed over his door. Is that the nation you prefer?
No, this is my home.
Even our previous leaders would have done that. We finally have a progressive regime, and you want to make us look weak with your crime.
I have done nothing wrong.
The law was clear. Your treason is clear.
When you made my care of my family illegal, you created my crime. Your law breaks other and deeper laws.
So you say, but it is the law.
This law was invented by no one but you.
Yes, I made it, but now it has a life of its own, and even I must obey it, or else our justice will crumble.
Your power will crumble, you mean? No matter how many laws you make, your power is not for all time. Your strength will fade. It is fading already. And when you are only an equal in this world, what will your children have then?
My first duty is to keep them secure.
If your laws violate justice, your children will live without hope of safety.
You were to have married my son. I give you one last chance to preserve your life. Antigone, bend before you break. Will you repent for aiding this traitor?
My brother was no traitor for rebelling against your injustice. Your son, Hymen, I love him. I'm sad we can't be married. But freedom is a creature that flies and will live beyond your chains and murders.
The punishment is set by law. Take this traitor and sister of traitors away!
Chris Hedges, September 25th, 2011. To be declared innocent in a country where the rule of law means nothing, where the poor and working men and women are reduced to joblessness and hunger, where war, financial speculation, and internal surveillance are the only real business of the state, where even habeas corpus no longer exists, is to be complicit in this radical evil. To stand on the sidelines and say, "I'm innocent," is to bear the mark of Cain. To be innocent in times like these is to be a criminal. There are no excuses left. Either you join the revolt or you stand on the wrong side of history. Scene 3. Creon and his son Hymen.
I am proud to live in this nation. My forefathers carved a future out of a wilderness, and we have been a source of light to the world. I've taken up arms to defend this country when needed, and I will do so again, because I know that of all our strengths, the most sacred is truth. The most sacred is seeing what is true and learning and accepting mistakes. When we make errors, we correct and change course. Nothing but love for you and my country would bring me here to say this, Father.
You're angry. Your wedding is canceled.
No wedding is more important to me than father or mother or family.
I'm glad to hear that. Your bride was a traitor. She'll find some groom beneath the earth.
But Father, I listen to people talking. They respect your law, each one of them. And they also respect the laws of blood kin. The poor woman only wanted one thing, they're saying, to prevent her brother's corpse from rotting on the sand as food for dogs.
The corpse in question was beyond honor.
Antigone was not. That's what they're saying.
And if they're right, and Antigone was right, where's the wrong? In the law I made to protect our future?
You did what was needed to protect us all and keep us safe. We're safe now. You said so yourself. The law can afford to bend.
You take her side after all.
I take your side, and mine, and our country's.
By telling me I should break our laws?
By suggesting you temper your law with mercy.
Oh, the prospect of marriage has made you a woman.
Insults are no part of argument, Father. Your people want you to lead them. They want to respect you and trust you. Give them your trust. See the new wind and change your course.
You want your leadership blown back and forth? My job is to steer a clear path, not flutter to the changeable whims of those who are weak.
Those who you call weak are the people who give you your power. No one else. If you ignore them, what have we struggled so hard to build?
Well, you think I'm a tyrant.
Tyrants aren't born. They are made by the choices they make.
If I am this dictator you're describing, then I say this. Do not say one word in defense of that woman who openly, knowingly broke the law with purpose to do so, hoping the law would fall and not her. It's no small thing to take away the chosen bride of my oldest boy. But I do so for your sake, for everyone's sake. To secure your future and the future of all those children you will have, you still will have, with someone whose heart is not black with treason.
Bend before you break, Father.
Cower, you mean? Surrender? Grovel? You disrespect your father. You said too much.
I have not said enough.
I am not your father only, remember. I am ruler here also.
Yes, you have power. This nation has undefeated power. But power that's built on crushing others will pass. And when our strength is gone, what will our children and their children have?
You are undermining our nation.
You are undermining our nation. Your laws are a prison and rebels will grow to resist.
You openly threaten rebellion?
No. Rebellion will come without me.
Get out of my sight! Before I have you arrested, son or no son!
I will go. You will not see me again. I'm sorry, Father. For you and my country.
He's gone, and the situation is clear. Rebellion is murmuring all around us. Citizens, we're in danger. The woman Antigone clearly plans to become a martyr for those who hate us. She will not succeed. We will not be blamed for her execution. We will show mercy. No blood will be spilled. Take the woman to a cave. Give her food and water. Build a wall across the mouth of the cave, a solid wall, high. Let her stay in her cave behind this wall. Let the gods give her life, or those below earth. No guilt will fall on the city for her death. The wall will bring no violence on her, though she would bring violence on all of us. Never a state pursuing its needs with more restraint. We are not tyrants. We are the bringers of light to the world.
From the West Bank Palestinian village of Bil'in. Our village is being strangled by Israel's wall. Though our village sits 2.5 miles east of the Green Line inside the West Bank, Israel is taking roughly 60% of our land in order to annex 6 illegal Israeli settlements. The wall will turn our village into an open-air prison like Gaza. In 2004, the International Court of Justice handed down an advisory ruling that Israel's construction of a wall on Palestinian land violated international law. Today, Palestinians in villages like ours are struggling to implement that decision. After Israeli courts refused our appeals to prevent the wall, we, along with Israelis and international citizens from around the world, began peacefully protesting the confiscation of our land. We have opened our homes to the Israelis who have joined us. They have become our partners in struggle. We welcome anyone who comes to us as a guest and who works for peace and justice for both peoples, but we will resist anyone who comes as an occupier. Scene 4. Creon's wife, Eurydice.
I have had the most terrible dream. I was watching birds in the morning, sweet birds, when all of a sudden there came a screeching. And all those songbirds began to attack and tear each other with beaks. The air was spattered with flares of blood. No screaming would stop the birds from clawing each other. I tried to pray, but all that came from my mouth was the screech of some mad gull. The tangle of birds with their blood-covered talons came closer, and my ears were bloody with the noise. I covered my head and lifted it awake, and it was no dream. I was watching it happen, or else we are still in that dream. The cluster of birds fell in a pulp. I shrieked again and ran to find servants. It was no dream. This was no dream. Our nightmares are taking over the day. I had called for my son, but was told he was gone, forever gone off. What does it mean, Creon, husband? What have you done?
Compose yourself. The news is bad. Our son has allied himself with treason.
What treason?
Antigone, the one he would marry. She broke the law. She had her sentence. Our son has chosen her over his country.
You can call him back.
I can. I will not.
You will call him back. Our son, you will call him back. You will bend before you break, husband.
He's no son of mine anymore.
He will go there, wherever she is. He'll go. He will fear no danger and go to Antigone.
He will not be allowed.
No one will stop him. Hymen is your son. He is my son, too. The nightmare is worse. Let me wake up, please. Let me wake up. Hymen, my son, wait for me. Hymen!
Guard, follow her. Keep her safe. Make sure she doesn't do anything crazy.
We'll see to that, sir.
Something is bending destiny here. I'm coming with you.
Khader Adnan, February 11th, 2011, the 57th day of his hunger strike against Israel's treatment of Palestinian political prisoners. I am in a hospital bed, surrounded with prison wardens, handcuffed, and my foot tied to the bed. The Israeli occupation has gone to extremes against our people, especially prisoners. I have been humiliated, beaten, and harassed by interrogators for no reason, and thus I swore to God I would fight the policy of administrative detention to which I and hundreds of my fellow prisoners fell prey. I am defending my dignity and my people's dignity and not doing this in vain. The only thing I can do is offer my soul to God, as I believe righteousness and justice will eventually triumph over tyranny and oppression. Final scene. A soldier.
No one's life can be added up, sad or happy, while life's still going on. Creon had everything a man could want for a short time. Just a short time is all. They built his wall plenty high enough to block her off in the cave with one candle. But Hymen was able to break a hole, because no one could stop him, no one dared. Creon showed up with his special squad of palace guards, but Hymen already broke a way in. They were both too late. Hymen stuck in a torch and looked, and we heard the poor boy make a noise like a groan or squeal. When we could see, we saw Antigone hanging there, in a rope made out of her own linen somehow, swinging there just for a moment before he drew his short sword and cut her down. He carried her out, laid her down, and sobbed like a little child. His mother, the queen, had come by then. She'd taken a different road. She'd come to the top of that wall, and standing looking down, she wanted to bring him comfort, but then Creon stepped in with his special guards, and Creon said, "Oh, what has she done? What was the stupid girl thinking?" Hymen looked up, his sword still out. He jumped and took a swing at his father, almost nicked him, but was blocked by the guards. His mother was screaming on the top of the wall. Hymen was seething and weeping with fury, and then that two-edged sword turns around, and it's in his own stomach before we can stop him, and he falls, and we run to pull out the blade, and we look up, and more screaming still, and we see his mother sailing down off the wall. We hear the snap of her neck and her back as she hits the ground, and Creon sees it, sees them both, and Creon stands there and doesn't know which to go to, his wife and his son. He doesn't know which to go to, and now, for all that work, what's worse? Oh, but here he comes. Lord Creon, sir, the city is with you. The nation is with you. All of our hearts are with your heart.
Good. That's good. The nation is one, united as always. That's what we need. will issue a report, a thorough report. Insurgents have managed to infiltrate to the highest levels. Measures will have to be stepped up now. Urgent measures. These dead will not have passed in vain. We'll have to learn from these sacrifices. All of them. See to it. See to it.
One more thing, sir.
What is it?
Ismene, Antigone's sister. We've had to arrest her.
For what?
She tried to bury her brother's body. We stopped her and put her under guard.
Well, so be it.
But then, while we were gone, someone else came up and threw some handfuls of dust on the body. All we could do was brush them off, but whenever we turn our backs, it happens. Someone else throws dust on the body.
Arrest them! Well, anyone breaking the law!
We will, sir, we do. Whenever we can, but someone else comes, and then someone else. Now, they're trying to cremate the bodies, set fire somehow, and the fire is spreading across the sand. We don't know how.
Put it out!
We will, sir. I'm certain we will. We don't know how it spreads across the sand, but the flame they started is like some gazelle sprinting, like some creature that flies, and nothing we do can stop it. Nothing we do, sir. Nothing we do. Nothing we do can stop it.
Like some gazelle, some creature that flies, and nothing we do, nothing we do, nothing we do can stop it.
Antigone's Nation, with the voices of Carmel Baird, Ricky Coates, Rich Hawkins, Greg Lockridge, Ruth McCree, and Christine Nyland. Directed by Robert Lee, recorded by Eric Brown.